Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
This is the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the Mean Gene Show on a Saturday, April 19, 2025. The NBA playoffs have officially started after a great 10 versus 8 seed matchup last night. The Heat becomes the first 10 seed to get into the playoffs under the new play-in format. And just as I had predicted, the Memphis Grizzlies, John, this thing is really playing out the way I thought it would, you know, play out. The Memphis Grizzlies and Ja Morant, they move on to capture the 8 seed in the Western Conference over Anthony Davis and the Dallas Mavericks last night. I know our friends up to the north who sometimes I really don't care about up there, you know, mainly those Dallas Cowboy fans, but that's a whole nother topic, right? It was not even close. And I think maybe perhaps Kyrie Irving plays in a game like that last night. It's a little bit different, but no, Anthony Davis did the best he could do. And God only knows if Anthony Davis was not able to play in that game last night, what would have happened? But things played out in the Western Conference just like I thought they would play out. So look here, I am more than excited that the NBA playoffs are set. We're going to be talking about the NBA playoffs in the first couple of segments of this show. And then, of course, I am wearing a Rockets jersey. I mean, it's only appropriate, okay? Rockets and Warriors game one tomorrow night at the Toyota Center. And we're also less than 1 week away from the NFL draft, which is going to take place next Thursday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. So my producer, John B., just stepped away here. Come back. We get into the conversation about the NFL draft. As a matter of fact, I got a special treat for you. My great friend from CBSSports.com, Brian DiArdo, he's going to join me at the bottom of this hour, and we're going to talk about the NFL draft. We're going to get all, as much as we can, get into it. I spent most of the morning looking at some of the top prospects of the NFL draft, so it's going to be a pretty good draft. Every year, there's always this great talent in the NFL draft, so looking forward to that. But, hey, so the NBA playoffs is what we're going to be talking about today. Look, it's going on right now. It's not really looking good for the Milwaukee Bucks right now because as we speak here in Indianapolis, and look, that is, I mean, we're talking about the state of Indiana, which is a basketball state, right? The Milwaukee Bucks cannot wait to see what Doc Rivers is going to say about this game. He always has some of the most interesting press conferences. But, man, he's really going to have a lot to talk about here. I mean, they're getting a little bit closer, but I think and look, they have another quarter to go. Right now it's 89-74. The Indiana Pacers have pretty much I think Milwaukee may have led early on when it was like 6-5 or something like that. But the Pacers have not really looked back here. And this is really interesting here because there is no Damian Lillard. He still has that injury there that, you know, they're looking at. They might be bringing him in for maybe a game three. But you can tell right now Giannis is the only offense that the Milwaukee Bucks have right now. No one else is really able to contribute for this Milwaukee Bucks offense. It's Giannis Antetokounmpo. So they are definitely missing Damian Lillard, which I think they could have him as this series move on. But you know, Indiana's doing what they're supposed to do. And these four or five matchups here over in the East, you usually get a better matchup than as far as a competitive matchup is what I'm trying to say. But it's not over. I mean, we still have another quarter to go. And, you know, it seems like the Pacers have a pretty good stronghold here on Milwaukee. But This game is not over yet, so we will see. But I'm just, you know, Rick Carlisle is a coach that has won an NBA championship. You know, he was with the Indiana Pacers, and then he went on with the Dallas Mavericks, won that championship, and then he gets hired back with the Indiana Pacers. He's a damn good coach. So is Doc Rivers. You got two coaches that have won NBA championships, so they know something about the playoffs. So we're not going to panic right now, but it was looking pretty ugly for the Milwaukee Bucks, and now it looks as if we're going to see what this the fourth quarter is going to look like. So anyway, we're going to talk about these playoffs, man. It's so exciting here. This, like I said, this is the excitement of an exciting time of the year. So I'm going to go over the matchups here, the schedule. There's a couple of games that's going to be happening here tonight, today, tomorrow. I think John TNT, or I don't know who started this, but they used to call this like 40 games and 40 nights. I think it's a little bit more now. But I can say this, though. I was not a fan of the play-in tournament like when they first introduced this a couple of years ago. But now I am. And seeing that the Miami Heat is like the first team to be a 10 seed to actually get in, they, you know, solidify the 8 seed. I'm on board now. I mean, it really became exciting watching that game last night between Miami and Atlanta. I mean, it just really it's not really a playoff game, but it really felt like it.
Yeah, they feel like playoff games. I mean, and they're supposed to. These teams are fighting in almost like a game seven style, you know, feel. Instantly, like they're thrown into that kind of feel, and that's why I do like it, because, you know, if you're on the back end of the playoff, you know, you're a 7 or an 8 seed anyways. Like, why shouldn't you have to fight? You didn't really, you know, you didn't earn like a 2 seed or 3 seed. Like, you're at the back end anyways. Like, you're probably pretty even with those teams. Like, let's fight it out. Let's see who makes. I think it's like an extra. It's like a preview to what you're going to get in these big series coming up, you know, game seven type of feel right off the bat before it even goes. It's exciting.
It is exciting. And in the Miami Heat Atlanta Hawks game, you know, this game goes into overtime here. The Heat wins 123-114 there. And I tell you what it does too, you know, I mean, cause look, Miami is just one of those teams there. Look, they look that whole storyline with the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler. You know, we all know what happened in the, you know, before the trade deadline, what happens with Jimmy Butler and Pat Riley, and who was going to win the battle of those two. You know, Butler was adamant he wanted to get out of there, and Pat Riley was adamant that he's not going to let him get out of there. And then he let, you know, Butler get out of there. Butler goes to the Golden State Warriors. We'll talk about that team and their matchup with the Houston Rockets. But looking at Miami, you know, everyone thought Miami was pretty much left for dead there. They got themselves all the way down to not to the bottom of the Eastern Conference, but they get down to that 10th seed. And like we just mentioned, no one has ever, you know, got into the tournament. I mean, got into the playoffs at the 10th seed there, you know, and they get in. And Miami is a dangerous team. You know, this, you know, they have played, got themselves in the playoffs as that low seed, you know, and I tell you, man, they are a well-coached team. Eric Spoelstra has been there. He's won those championships, you know, albeit it was with LeBron and Wade and that super team that they had a couple of years ago. But, man, look, Tyler Hero, what a name. What a name for a player like Hero, right? He goes in there and Bam Adebayo. This Miami Heat team is really going to be a good team. And look, they're going to go up against the Cleveland Cavaliers here, that series is going to get underway on Sunday. And one thing I do like about the play-in, John, is that, look, Cleveland's been sitting there. They've been, you know, Cleveland, best record over there in the East. They've been sitting for a while. You know, they don't play this game until tomorrow night on TNT. And Miami, you know, some of these teams that are playing these play-in games, they have played games. Miami has already played two extra games since the regular season ended. And, you know, don't be surprised. I'm not saying they're going to win the series. And I do have my first-round series picks, which I will be making here before this show is over with here. And it's just tough to really pick right now who I think is going to win the NBA championship. It's just too many damn games in front of us for me to even go that far. I can't do it right now, but I will pick the first round. And then when the second round come, I will pick the second round. I mean, I can do that, right? Yeah. I mean, this is going to be, I think it's going to be one of the most competitive first round matchups here. I will tease you right now and let you know that I have a lot of 6-game series. I do. I just think the matchups, I did my homework. I looked at some of the series matchups between some of these teams because, they've played each other 3 or 4 times already this year. And all those are, it's not indicative of what's going to happen here in the playoffs. And remember, some of these teams look completely different now because of what happened during the trade deadlines. There was trades that took place. And so some of these teams, like, take the Golden State Warriors, how and what that team looked like when the Houston Rockets played them before February and how they look like after that, it's completely different. So that goes for a lot of teams. Teams change. So we'll talk about that. But anyway, let's just start with this Eastern Conference here. So we got Cleveland versus Miami. And that's your 1 seed, and Miami ends up in that 8 seed, which is so comfortable for them. I can't remember. I don't think Miami has had a number 1 seed. I can't remember when the last time the Heat had a number 1 seed. I mean, maybe when LeBron and Wade and those guys were, way back then. But for the last few years, man, Miami's been playing from the bottom and have somehow, they found themselves in the NBA Finals a couple of years ago. So, this is not unfamiliar territory with the Miami Heat. The only thing different about this Miami Heat team now is that they will be without Jimmy Buckets, okay? There will be no Jimmy Butler with this Miami team, but this is a new team. This is a team that has different players now. They have Khalil Ware, the rookie, who the guy looks so much like Victor Wembanyama that is just scary. But, I mean, just look at how he complements Bam Adebayo now. So this is really going to be interesting now to see how this goes. But I tell you what, why don't we just take a break, and when we come back, we'll sort of break down exactly what's going to be happening here. I'll give you the first round matchups, and then, of course, I will tell you, give you my thoughts on the Rockets and Golden State Warriors matchups here. You listen to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
Houston's only FM sports stations, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5
for the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Mean Gene.
All right. Well, when I thought things were going to get better for the Milwaukee Bucks, but it doesn't look like it. Okay, 7:26 left to go in the fourth quarter. 104-85. The Bucks just don't have any help. It's all Giannis versus the Pacers, and we're gonna see what's gonna happen here as the crowd counts down the full 12 seconds for Giannis to shoot his free throws. It's always funny. They only do that when he's on the road. Okay, so real quick, the series over in the East. So you got the Cleveland Miami matchup. It gets underway Game 1 tomorrow night on TNT. The other series, the 2 versus 7, is the Boston Celtics Orlando Magic. That also gets underway tomorrow, 3:30 Eastern on ABC. And this is going to be a good series here, okay? How about the Detroit Pistons? Wow. The Pistons, the 6th seed, they will take on the New York Knicks. We're going to see that tonight here. As a matter of fact, that's going to be 5 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Eastern Time on ESPN. I cannot wait to get home to watch that series. And, of course, the game we're watching now, the 4-5 matchup here. Game 2 of this series, and this is where we're going to have basketball until Christmas. No, I'm just kidding. Until June, right? So there will be playoff basketball all the way until June, okay? That's when the NBA Finals is going to be done. I mean, there's going to be a playoff game pretty much every night, all right? Things will slow down once you get to the conference finals, but you can expect to see for the next 2 weeks here, what's left of April, all of May, there's just going to be a game on every night, okay, which is exciting. But game two of this Milwaukee series, all right? So, and this is funny, John, because look, they're playing in Indianapolis right now. All right. The game two is Tuesday night. All right. So I don't know what the hell they're going to be doing tomorrow night. I don't know what they're going to be doing Monday night. But game two of this series, and this is what, I mean, this is NBA. This is marketing. This is stretching things out. But you would think that they're not doing anything for the next 2 days. So you play game one on Saturday, and you don't play game two until Tuesday night. And we have this conversation every year. Why the hell do they stretch these games out? And it could be a total different series. You know, Pacers got the momentum tonight. You know what? I want to play Milwaukee again tomorrow night and beat the brakes off of them again.
Yeah, you want to. Yeah, if you're beating the brakes off them, you want to get out there on that court as soon as possible.
Exactly.
If I'm not mistaken, that's games one, two, and three, right? Or is it one through?
Look, I mean, look. Uh-huh. Game one today, right? They play game two Tuesday. Game three is next Friday. So, I mean, and it's all because of the networks. You know, this year is a little bit different. You got ESPN involved. You got NBA TV involved. And you got ESPNU. I don't think they have the true TV like they do with the NC2A tournament. I don't think there's another network.
No, I don't think so.
Next year, there will be more networks. I think NBC is back into the picture next year because, you know, the TNT crew with Charles, Ernie, and those guys, they're moving over to another network. So
I thought they were going to ESPN, right?
Yeah, they're going to, yeah. But so it's gonna. But NBC is back into the picture. I do believe, and I think there's another network. I think Amazon is into the picture.
That doesn't surprise me.
So I mean, but it's all about the money and the marketing and where the advertising dollars are coming from. So over in the Western Conference, okay, you have Oklahoma City and Memphis. Memphis, who just beat Dallas last night. Game one of that series is going to be tomorrow on ABC, 1 Eastern time, okay? And a series I'm going to be talking about here in a minute, okay? The Rockets and the Golden State Warriors, okay? That will kick off tomorrow night on TNT. So Charles will be in town. And Charles, unlike San Antonio, we don't have any fat women here in Houston. Okay, I don't know what Charles is going to say. Charles likes Houston.
I think you're blind.
Maybe we do. maybe some, but San Antonio, yeah.
Yes, okay. I got you.
A different story. Okay, so Lakers and Minnesota, the 3-6 matchup, that is going to be tonight on ABC. 8:30 Eastern time on ABC. And I guess right after this game here, soon as Indiana gets done making quick work of Milwaukee, and oh God, I can't wait to see the Doc Rivers press conference because they're always good. Okay. Clippers and Denver will be a good series. Don't fall asleep on the Clippers. Hopefully you haven't. Clippers is the 5 seed. Denver is the 4 seed. That game's coming on immediately after this Milwaukee Indiana game, and that's it. So, John, let's talk about the Rockets, okay? Let's talk about how everyone in America is saying that the Golden State Warriors are going to win this series, and I am in total disagreement. The biggest question I have, look, I did see the Warriors and the Rockets play earlier this year. And, of course, that was pre-Jimmy Butler. Okay. One thing about the Golden State Warriors in their championship days, one thing that was very evident about that team that helped them win those championships, a couple of players. One was Klay Thompson and his lockdown defense. You can say Livingston was one of those players on that team that had good defense. And Iguodala, who retired, he played great defense. This Golden State Warriors team right now don't have that defense anymore. This team right now, since Jimmy Butler has joined this team,
they've improved.
They have not. They okay. Look, There's a reason why the Rockets are the number two seed. And there's a reason why the Golden State Warriors had to go through a play-in tournament to get in. It's not the same Golden State Warriors team. I think people are really giving they're respecting the Warriors for work that they've done in the past. But look, if they were all that damn good, they would have been the number one or number two seed. Okay, one thing I know about these Rockets is that, first of all, both teams are well coached. Okay, and both teams both coaches have worked under one of the greatest in Greg Popovich. Okay, but one thing we know about this Rockets team is that they do play defense, and they play it very well. Okay, and I've spent a lot of time at the Toyota Center watching this team play some pretty good defense. And then the biggest question also is size. Golden State right now, since acquiring Jimmy Butler, that's the starting lineup right now for the Golden State Warriors and what it has been over the last few weeks. It's Curry, Steph Curry, Green, Przinski, Moody, and Butler. That is a small lineup, okay? And one thing I've noticed and had a chance to talk with the coach about the lineup, and this is always a popular question for Coach Udoka in the locker room, is playing Adams and Şengün. Those are big guys. And one thing about Steven Adams is he would clean everything up on the rim. One of the best rim protectors I've ever seen. Did it with Oklahoma, did it with Memphis. And John, I know you got a sound bite. You got something from the coach? Let's hear it.
Golden State has off-ball movement and many screens, as they said. Will that affect how much you play the double big lineup, or will you try to make them force them to change their lineup according to what you have on the court?
No, we'll still play ours. I think we do some things that we can do to hide certain matchups or put people on specific guys for them. That off-ball action and what they do is very unique, and it can hurt you in a lot of different ways, not just with the big lineup out there. And so what we want to do is obviously impose our will on the glass and being big with our lineups, which we have done, and it's no different against them.
Yeah, he's right about that. And you get gravy. You get, as Shaq and them like to say, barbecue chicken, right? You get points from Adams that you don't expect to get, you know? And I've seen that lineup. I've seen those guys play as much as 20 minutes on the court together and be pretty productive without even getting into foul trouble. Usually, you know, I remember one game I covered. They played neither one of them had a foul until the fourth quarter. So they played good discipline ball. So I think that's going to be a problem. Now, on the other hand here, if I'm going to scout this game and give the Rockets, you know, some tips and suggestions, not that they need anything from me because these guys know what the hell they're doing. Jonathan Kuminga has not really been his playing time has really been impacted since Jimmy Butler has been part of this team. You know, this guy was averaging about 20 points. Before Jimmy Butler came on, but more specifically against the Rockets, and this is pre Jimmy Butler and the games that they played, the game they played in December, Jonathan Kuminga had 20 points versus the Rockets. And then a month earlier in November of 2024, Jonathan Kuminga had 23 points. So if I'm Steve Kerr, knowing that size is going to be a problem and knowing that Coach, you know, Udoka is probably going to go big, I can guarantee you that Jonathan Kuminga is going to have a role in this series. And I know the Rockets know this, but I can tell you Jalen Green, Jabari Smith, and Amen Thompson, the Rockets are going to be a problem for the Golden State Warriors, okay? And like I said, there's a reason why the Rockets are the number two seed. This team went on a six-game slide, and they kind of went up and down. They never, no one got anywhere close to Oklahoma City Thunder. We all know that, right? Oklahoma just But the Rockets went, what, 2, 3, 4, 5? I don't know if they ever hit the sixth spot, but they looked pretty bad at one particular time. Got themselves all the way down, hit that six-game slid. But right there when it counted, they ran off 9 in a row, I think. And look where they are. What's that saying, John? Put some speck on these guys' name, man. They look, and this is a series I will call. All right, I got the Rockets winning this series. Okay, and I'm not taking anything. Look, Steph Curry is not just going to run around the Toyota Center and just hit these damn threes. Like, you know, he's going to either see Dylan Brooks. Nobody likes Dylan Brooks if you're the other team. You know, and I expect Dylan Brooks to be a pain in the ass to whoever, you know, the best player of the opposing team is going to be.
Yeah, I agree. I will say, I think you're right about one thing. I don't know how much running around Toyota Center shooting threes Steph Curry's going to do if Amen Thompson's going to guard him the way he can for 7 games straight. I mean, that's a tough assignment. So I do think that the Warriors will have to be a little creative to get him the ball. But he's still Steph, and he's still dangerous, and we know what he's done to us here in this city in the past. So, you know, I'm going to take the Rockets to win this series too. But I got to tell you, I feel a little shaky about it because – The Warriors. Steph's a great shooter. They still have dogs on that team.
They do.
And since they've gotten Jimmy Butler, they have improved in a lot of categories. And so you wonder if they're hitting that stride kind of as they come into the postseason, and then they find it. You know, I'm gonna go with the Rockets though.
All right, let's go with the Rockets. So how about we take a break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk some NFL football with our man from CBS Sports, senior writer Brian DiArdo, here on the Mean Gene Show, ESPN 97.5 Houston.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, folks, we are moving right along here on a quick moving show on a Saturday here, Mean Gene Show. And look, the NFL draft is getting ready to take place next Thursday in Green Bay, Wisconsin. I will not be there. You know, these things are fun, okay? And it's not because I'm not a Packers fan or anything. I'm sure the Cheeseheads are going to represent well there. But look here, I cannot talk about the NFL draft unless I have an expert on. And as you know, if you've listened to our shows in the past, we have one of our great friends here from CBSSports.com. He's a senior writer, and he covers the AFC North, Pittsburgh Steelers, and those Bengals and Browns and Ravens. Brian DiArdo. What's up, Brian?
Well, hey, Gene. I thought you were promoting me on your Facebook page. I kind of felt like I was getting the Aaron Rodgers treatment. I was liking it, you know? And I know I'm not Aaron Rodgers, but look, I'll try to be as entertaining as him and maybe tell a little bit more truth than he does on McAfee. So.
Oh,
but no, I'm always good to be on with you, and I'm looking forward to diving into the draft and talking up whatever else you like to talk about.
Hey, look here, man. Brian, you know what? It's been a while, and I tell you what, man, you know, to be talking football in April, it must be close to the NFL draft. And somehow, every year, man, this stuff brings excitement. There are names that we haven't forgot about. We are familiar with some of these names. It's not always the names of these players, but it's the teams that usually have these top draft positions here. And, you know, let's just start with a team that, especially for our listeners here in Houston here, because we got, you know, the Texans have been in this position before, but now it's one of our rivals here and the Titans here. The Titans have the first pick in this 2025 draft here. So what do you think? What's out there? What do you think the Titans are going to do?
So about 99% of all the mocks and all the experts have them going with Cam Ward. And believe me, Gene, I'm actually making my mock draft now. It's almost done. It'll be fresh out tomorrow on CBS Sports. I'm about 80% done. And you believe me, I wanted could pick anybody other than Cam Ward to make my mock draft stand out from the thousands of others that are out there. But I think it's very, very safe to assume they're going to go with Ward. And I don't, like, love the pick because I think Ward is the best of a weaker class of quarterbacks. I mean, his touchdown-interception ratio was very good in college. His last year at Miami, his only year at Miami, his completion percentage was good. Like, he's got all the things that you like statistically, and he seems like he's got a good head on his shoulders. But my thing is, they just drafted a quarterback a few years ago in Will Levis, and, you know, there's been some – he's kind of Jekyll and Hyde, right? Like, when he's good, he's good. When he's bad, he's atrocious. And but I think he's good enough that you would give him another year. But Gene, I think the biggest reason why they're going to go with Ward is there's two reasons. A, how often are you going to be in a position to get the best quarterback in the draft? And B, you know, Brian Callahan, let's face it, he's going into his second year. He has another year like he had last year. He's undoubtedly going to be on the hot seat. So if you're going to go down, why wouldn't you go down with your quarterback, right? Like, he didn't draft Levis. He inherited Levis. He was already benched at least once last year because Callahan didn't have faith in him. So I just think for Callahan and his job security, he's going to go with Ward. He's going to build the offense around him. And I'm highly confident that that will be the pick, but I'm not entirely completely 100% sold on that.
Well, you know, I mean, it's interesting because, you know, they had Mason Rudolph, and somehow the Steelers are able to get Mason Rudolph back. But Brian, what really puzzles me, and I want you to explain this to my listeners, because, you know, we look at these top 50 players in this draft, and sometimes, and then we look at the top, you know, teams that are drafting, and it only makes sense to me, like, okay, these things don't add up. The top 50 players, and then when you look at the Titans pick, they that's not adding up because you know Cam Ward is not the number one player on my top 50 list here, or on a lot of the lists that I have looked at, he's not even in the top three.
Right, but you know, I think it comes down to how important the quarterback position is now in the NFL. You know, you look at any team in the league that's had success, the quarterback position now is exalted to this place where if you don't have a franchise quarterback, you're not going to be in contention to win the Super Bowl, which is crazy because just 8 years ago, the Eagles won with Nick Foles, and that was just 8 years ago, but the times have changed in just that short period of time. You look at the last two quarterbacks that were in the Super Bowl, Patrick Mahomes, Jalen Hurts. Franchise quarterbacks, guys that command salaries around $50 million annually. And speaking of money, you know, you could see in the money these guys are getting the value that they have in this league. But you're right. Like, the Titans would be better served probably drafting, the top offensive lineman, right? Or maybe even, you know, Jenty. But the issue is they don't have an offensive line, right? Like, that's the problem. They're hoping that. But the big thing, Gene, is, and I'm sure you know this, this draft is about depth. It's about quality. The running thing that I'm hearing is the guy you could get with the 35th pick is the same guy you could get with the 135th pick.
Right,
so
right.
This isn't necessarily a top-heavy draft. So, yeah, I mean, if you're the Titans, you've got to hit on these picks. But you could take Ward, and then you've got to invest in, you know, again, offensive line, running back, other positions. Because no quarterback is going to have success if you don't have a good situation around him. And that's why, as much as I – you know, Levis has continued to make the mistakes in the pros that he's made in college. He hasn't had the best talent around him, so you can only do so much with what you have. So, yeah, I mean, you know, with Ward, he's only going to be as successful as the pieces that the Titans put around him.
And, yeah, and this gets even more interesting because the list I'm looking at here is a top 50 big board that has Travis Hunter as the, you know, top player here on this top 50, and it has Cam Ward as number 9. But let's talk about Travis Hunter here, who seems to be one of the more interesting players in this draft, and he's also the Heisman Trophy winner. And let's talk about the Browns here. So what do you think the Browns do in this particular case here? Do they shake up this whole draft? Because they have a lot of needs here: quarterback, running back, linebacker, edge. I mean, what do you think they do?
So this is interesting to me, really interesting, because them and the Giants have the next picks in the second round. So they both conceivably could go, you know, top need or best player, which I think they both will do. I think the Giants will take Carter Abdul Carter at three, and the Browns take Hunter at two, and then it could be you could see the Giants to be trying to trade and get into the last spot in the first round. Like maybe they trade with the Eagles to get that quarterback. I see both of them, you know, like so. I see Cleveland taking Hunter, the Giants taking Carter, and then both players maybe taking the best available quarterback that's left. That could be Shedeur Sanders. It will probably be Shedeur Sanders if the Saints or the Steelers don't take him, because then what I'm hearing is the Saints aren't really in on Sanders, even though you would think that they would be because of the Derek Carr injury and everything going on there.
Right.
And the guy they would have now if Carr was out was Spencer Rattler, who was spotty at best last year. So, I see the Browns taking Hunter. I mean, Amari Cooper is still unsigned. They've got a nice complimentary group there at receiver, but they don't have that guy. And I think, you know, hey, when was the last time we've had a guy in the NFL star at both positions? I mean, Deion Sanders, but that was, I mean, he was what? He was a great corner who got time at receiver. And that's what, I think that could be the flip for Hunter. I think he'll be a receiver that gets time at corner. But either way, you're getting a guy that can make an impact on both sides of the ball. So it's almost a 2-for-1 for Cleveland. And I think they'd be foolish not to pick him. And I'm very convinced they will, mostly because, like the Giants, they've got that first pick in the second round. And, hey, Jalen Milroe might be there. He'll probably be there. So you can still get your guy that can help you now while still possibly getting your quarterback of the future early in the second round. And I also think the Browns are okay where they are at now at quarterback. I think they actually like Kenny Pickett to a degree. I think there's things there that they like. They played against him when he was with the Steelers.
Right.
And they had, you know, I think Kenny was 1-1 against them or something of that nature. And so they have Joe Flacco, who they have had recent success with. So that's the direction I think they'll go. And I think it would be a very good pick for them to make that move.
Yeah, I agree. I tell you what, Brian, we're going to take a quick break. I want you to hang on here because I do have another question about Travis Hunter as far as, you know, he's one of those two-way players there. And, my question is going to be, will he be drafted as a cornerback or a wide receiver? But we'll wait. We'll take this break. And when we come back, folks, you're listening to the Mean Gene Show right here on ESPN 97.5 H-Town.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Here.
You're listening to the Mean Gene Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
For the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Mean Gene.
All right, folks, we are back here talking NFL draft with CBSSports.com senior writer Brian Yardo. And before the break, we were just trying to figure out, you know, when and if the Cleveland Browns take Travis Hunter, would they be paying him as a cornerback or a wide receiver, Brian?
So I think he will start at corner and he'll get packages as receiver until he continues to get more comfortable there. I think that's the play for them because it's much easier to have specific designs for him as a receiver and then he can just start at corner right away. I think corners are his more natural position. He is, and now at his pro day he did run routes because he wanted to prove that his route tree was big and that he could prove that he had reliable hands because those were two he thought were some knocks on him. Now, and I think the thing is, when he's on the field, when he's not an every down guy, all of a sudden, it's again, let's go back 30 years when Deion, his college coach, did the same thing. When he came onto the field, even if he didn't get the ball, it created this confusion. It created eyeballs. It created a buzz, right? And so it's almost like when there's a quarterback injury and you don't know if the guy's going to start on Sunday. Well, that defense now has to prepare all week long for two people, right? So it's like for Hunter, you've got to prepare for the Browns offense with and without him. And so that's kind of what I think. But again, I mean, we do know that the Browns don't have the deepest group at receivers. We know that Stefanski's an offensive-minded coach, and we do know that I think he's a better receiver than people give him credit for. So, you know, I think he will start at corner, but I wouldn't be surprised at all if he did also play a lot of receiver early on. One thing that we know is that Andrew Berry's been very open about how he is going to be open to how they will use Hunter when he's drafted. We've had teams say that they look at him more as a corner. We've had teams say that they look at him more as a receiver. The Browns are open to both, and so I think that he'll get every opportunity to line up at both. But my inkling is that he'll get more reps at cornerback to start things off.
Okay, that's interesting. Good stuff there. So, look, there's been a lot of talk about the Texans here this week, and our GM, Nick Caserio had some things to say. Brian, I want you to hear his comments.
Do you feel like you have to leave this draft by at least touching on the offensive line at all?
Yeah, like we feel we got to add good football players to our football team. I mean, that's what we're focused on. So whatever those positions entail, then that's how it's going to work. So, I mean, that's how we approach it. That's how we're going to handle it. So we'll see how it all goes next week.
Brian, you know, look, I mean, that was a good question, and I'm sure he's been asked that probably about 250 times, at least 50-something times. That's, you know, that's about the times, how many times that C.J. Stroud was sacked, you know, last year. So I know somewhere around that. Look, the offensive line, I think with that 25th pick, I would be shocked, Brian, if they didn't take an offensive lineman with that pick.
Sorry, I was getting up from my nap. Nick put me to sleep. He's done a very good job at GM, but, man, he comes right from that Belichick tree of saying nothing, doesn't he? I mean, my goodness. Now, he's done a good job. Again, I mean, the Titans, I think the Texans, the interesting thing, people don't really discuss, like, they're one of the few teams in the league with playoff wins over the last 2 years. Like, both years they won playoff games. And, and they were impressive, you know, opening round wins in convincing fashions at home against solid teams. So, like, I don't think he gets enough credit, and they don't get enough credit, and Coach DeMarco for what they're doing down there. But I agree. Everybody would be shocked if they didn't take an offensive lineman. And I just gave Nick a lot of credit. But I will say this. His acquisitions on the offensive line via free agency, that's been underwhelming. I will say that. And that just reinforces the narrative. They're going to go lineman. So let's look at who they could get. You know, there's some rumblings they can get Tyler Booker, especially if the Cowboys pass on him, which a lot of people think they're going to go receiver with Golden from Texas. So if that happens, he could slot. I think the ideal pick for the Texans would be a Booker from Alabama, fell at 25. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Gray Zabel, who's probably the best interior offensive lineman outside of Booker, I think he'll be there. The knock on him is that he went to North Dakota State. Right. Well, you know what? Mason McCormick, who started for the Steelers last year, fourth-round pick, he also went to North Carolina State. So this whole small school narrative thing, like Mike Green, the pass rusher from Marshall, like he's by far the most accomplished pass rusher in this draft, but a lot of people aren't sure where he's going to go because he went to a quote-unquote small school. I think we've got to stop with that whole thing. I mean, there's been way too many players, Tony Romo, I mean, I could go on and on, that Walter Payton, that went to small schools and then, you know, shine somewhere else. So, you know, I think Zabel would be a great pick for them, and the best part about him is he can play tackle and he can play offensive guard. So, like, I think he'd be a great pick for them, and I think the other option could be Josh Simmons from Ohio State. He did not allow a single sack in just one pressure and 152 pass-blocking snaps last season. He played with C.J. Stroud at Ohio State, and, you know, the Buckeyes have a good history with offensive linemen in the NFL. The issue with him is, as most people know, he had the knee injury, which short-circuited his season. So that's the scary part with him, but I think either of those guys I'd be very, very comfortable with. And I think both will be available at that point in the draft because I think teams are focusing more drafting before Houston on edge rushers. Edge rushers seems to be the hot position that's going to go off the board early. So I think there's going to be some good linemen there for them to take. But, yeah, I mean, I think it's a layup if you predict that they're taking a lineman with that pick.
Well, you know what, Brian? I feel pretty good, man. Look, and I'm not nowhere near an expert like yourself. And this afternoon when I got here to the studios, I was able to talk to one of our experts, Lance Zierlein. And look, the three names I have on my sheet are Tyler Booker, Greg Zabel, and Josh Simmons. So I think I did pretty good here. And
you did.
He said the exact same thing about Simmons, you know, with the knee injury, the tackle out of Ohio State. But look, and he also said the same thing you said about Booker. Look, if he was able to fall down that far, that is a steal. That would be, look, who wouldn't want any offensive lineman from Alabama, right?
Exactly. Josh Connerly from Oregon, he'll probably be there as well, too. So there's other options, too, if any of those guys aren't there. But I think at least two of those guys will, and I think Houston's going to sit pretty with that 25th pick as long as they take one of those guys.
Great stuff, man. I tell you what, look here. So now where are you going to be when the draft comes on next Thursday?
I will be in my living room covering it and hopefully enjoying a Detroit-style pizza. That's my plan. I'm going to try to eat well, including tomorrow. Well, I'll eat bad tomorrow. My last little nugget I'm going to give you, though, is I think it'll be interesting if the Steelers, if they want a defensive lineman, and I think if their top guys like Harmon are off the board and Grant and Sanders is sitting there, it's going to be really interesting to see if they pull the trigger or not. Like, I think they're going to go defensive lineman if one of the top guys are available. But if not, do they go with Sanders? Because I think they may or may not get Rodgers. It creates that question mark. I think the narrative is the Steelers have a ton of comp picks next year, and they're going to use those comp picks on a quarterback. But to me, if he's there, it's going to be hard for them to pass that up because he's versatile. He would fit well in Arthur Smith's offense. And let's be honest, they have struck out a quarterback since Ben Roethlisberger's retirement. So that will be very interesting to see if that plays out that way.
You're absolutely right. Brian, I tell you what, man, I really appreciate it. Thanks for stopping by, and we'll definitely get you back on here. We got to grade our papers, right? We got to see exactly who did well, who did poorly, and who you know, is going to win this draft. So we look forward to having you back on here.
Anytime. Thanks a lot, Gene.
All right, no problem, folks. Brian DiArdo, CBSSports.com senior writer here on the Mean Gene Show. He's a regular during the NFL season, and, of course, we have – more time when we do our NFL show, a two-hour show coming up this fall. Looking forward to it. If you guys didn't know, I am always blessed to be in the presence of our own here, Lance Zierlein. He does a morning show Monday through Friday here on ESPN 97.5. If you need to listen. This guy is great when it comes to talking about the NFL draft. He is on it, okay? I think he's done maybe three or four mock drafts, so you can go to the website. He also writes for NFL.com. I mean, when I walked in here to the studio this afternoon, he's in the room there. I thought he was in L.A. He's actually leaving tomorrow to go and do some work, John, for the NFL Network. I mean, this guy knows his stuff. He covers hundreds and hundreds of college football players. And
He
never stops, and he's always willing to stop and talk football. I remember I caught him in the hall a couple of years ago when we were on the network, John, and I needed some draft information, and Lance Zierlein was able to give it to me. You want to know what I really like about Lance? His dad was a coach for the Pittsburgh Steelers, so
offensive line coach.
Well,
right?
Yeah. Well, you know that's that connection that we really.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So. But no, but hey, Brian was right on it, and I think, and Lance just told me about an hour ago that if Tyler Booker is there, you know, that's who we want, right? I mean, you know, you put him right there with Will Anderson. I mean, come on, Alabama. If you got to get some players, you want them from Georgia and Alabama. You want them from the SEC. You can't go wrong. I hate to be biased like that. Not to say that Michigan and Ohio State, those guys don't have great football players, but, I mean, the SEC is the SEC. I'm sorry.
Right? You're right, too, and all the transfer portal kids are going to end up at those schools regardless anyway. So.
Yeah, I mean, but this guy is good, and the Greg Zabel, and I watched, believe me, I got up this morning and I watched a lot of video, okay? I read about these guys, and then I go and I watch video on these guys to see if what I read matches up with what I see. And that's how I look at these guys. I don't do mock drafts, you know, but I do look at, you know, what the CBSSports.com guys were right there with Lance. I would believe what Lance says over anybody because I know this guy. I mean, he's right here. We are fortunate to have him right here. If I'm going to talk, you know, NFL drafts, and Brian is good. Brian covers all of the NFL. But when it comes to draft, you know, if you're not following Lance Zierlein, then I don't know who you're following. And Lance was the one that kind of changed my opinion on what's the guy's name? You know, the guy that comes on and everybody hates him.
You're talking about Mel Kiper?
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, everybody hates Mel Kiper.
Well, Lance changed my opinion of Mel Kiper. He said, no, Mingy, you should listen. Mel knows what he's talking about. So anyway.
He's got to defend his own people.
Yeah.
You know?
So my steal of the draft is not the running back, Ashanti, but Omarion Hampton is a running back from North Carolina. Look, enjoy the playoffs. Okay, we'll be back next week to talk about what's going to be happening. I will be at game two. Rockets versus Warriors on Wednesday night. John, as always, thank you so much. And I'm getting ready to go watch the Clippers and the Nuggets. So enjoy your weekend, folks. Happy Easter tomorrow. We'll see you back here next week on the Mean Gene Show, ESPN 97.5, H-Town. Courtney, you are so wrong, man.
ESPN 97.5.
Drew McIntyre here from WWE. Wielding the Claymore can be a life of chaos. When I'm not dominating in the ring, Chumba Casino is how this warrior takes a wee break. With hundreds of online social games and new weekly releases, there's always something fresh to try. And those daily boosts, next level. Even my free time feels like Valhalla. So when life feels like a battle, kick up your feet, have some fun, and let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.